You have your Bibles this morning, turn to Exodus chapter 20. God clearly in his word tells us that he chose a nation, the nation of Israel, to deal with them and how God would deal as an example with humanity. And it's through this nation that he would bring salvation through a small tribe of Judah, and through that small tribe of Judah would come the Messiah, the one that would not only warn us, but bring forth God's judgment, but also bring God's reconciliation, his salvation, to humanity. So understanding that what's written in the Old Testament was written for the instructions of society and how God views things and how humanity is to live. Now, a part of this in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood, and how all the rituals and all those things that happened, God did away with those things. You see, the priest, he did away with the priesthood. If you read in Hebrews, that he gave us a priest forever. And that priest is Jesus Christ. He is the only one to be called Father. It says in Scripture, do not call anyone on earth Father. So there are some things in the Old Testament that were done away with, okay? And the Levitical priesthood and all that went along with that was done away with as he brought in the newness of that relationship that we have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So as I watched these conventions, Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention, each night they would always end with, God bless you, and God bless America. I think we have a problem there. I think that we have forgotten that when we sin and how we live our life, it's either with God or it's contrary to God. It's not being democratic, and it's not being republic, and it's not being independent. It's standing before Almighty God and say, are our actions coming true to what he written in Scripture? And are we sinning against Democrats? Are we sinning against Republicans? Are we sinning against one another? No, you're sinning against the holy and mighty God. So here's kind of what we're doing. I'm going to try to make this as practical as I know how. In chapter 20 it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, understanding this was not a choice. The nation of Israel did not make God their God. He told them, I'm your God. Okay? We have to understand this. We don't make God our God. He's God all by himself. He is telling us, I am your God. And therefore, I'm going to lay down some things that you are going to do that are going to please me, and this is how I want you to live. The first thing he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay? Gods come in, and idols come in all different forms and shapes and sizes. Anything that you put preference ahead of Almighty God is your God. Whether that be money, fame, fortune, family, dog, cat, it doesn't matter. And he says, you're to have no other gods before me. I am the only one true and holy God, and therefore I am your God. Now, whether you like it or not, he's the God of all of us. Okay? You shall make yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above the earth, or beneath the earth, or underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. He reminds him again, I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. Okay, he has a righteous jealousy that he says, there is nothing to come before me. There is nothing to come instead of me. And the way that we live depicts on how he sees us. And we have to measure up to how he says we ought to live. Visiting the iniquities of our fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. In other words, you can't say you love God and be contrary to his words. As a matter of fact, You have to go into what Jesus says and says, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. And then it goes on to say that in 1 John that you say you love God, but you don't keep my commandments. You're a liar. So therefore, we have to understand what this says is that we are seeing the things going on in our world today, the cancer, the viruses, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, and all of this are God's attempt to bring us down, to show us that, hey, he is God. He brought Nebuchadnezzar. He used a pagan, Nebuchadnezzar, to bring the nation of Israel, the Judah, into exile. And he brought him very low. For 7 years, he took his kingdom away from him to the point where he said, you will understand and know that I am God, and I put people in places of authority because I am God. And as you read the rest of that passage of Scripture, you understand that Nebuchadnezzar, after his 7 years, he came to that point and said, this is the only one and true God. We're seeing that. We are now living in those generations where God is visiting the iniquity of our nation and our people. But he shows loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. It's not about acknowledging God. It's not about saying God this and God that, because we are living out in those days when there's a form of godliness but is devoid of the Spirit. And just because we acknowledge God and don't live by God's commandments, we're not following God's word. He shows favoritism to those that follow his commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We don't use his name just routinely in a cursing. We don't live our life contrary to God's word. That is taking his name in vain. And when we in our national convention say, God bless you and God bless America, but we're not looking at how we're pleasing God. Instead of we're looking how to please each other, and we're looking how to please man. Democrats are trying to please the Democrats. The Republicans are trying to please the Republicans. But no one is trying to please Almighty God. He says, you shall not take the name Lord in vain. He will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. He meant that. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's not another day of the week. You don't go to the Wildcat basketball game on Saturday instead of mowing your yard on Saturday. Well, we'll do mow our yard on Sunday. He expects this day to be a holy day. We're supposed to rest on this day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, and you not do any work, your son or your daughter or your male female servant or your cattle or your sojourn who stays with you. So go ahead and do what you want, but God bless me. Go ahead and work on that. Go ahead and work on the Sabbath day, but God bless me. I mean, that's what we're saying in these conventions, is it not? And then he goes on to say, for the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all is in it, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What makes this day different is because God said it's a holy day. It's not any other different day of the week, but what sets it aside is because Almighty Holy God said it's a holy day. But I'll do what I want. God bless you and bless me and bless this nation. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord God gives you. Okay? He didn't say that if you have a good mama and a good daddy. It says you give them honor because they gave you life. That is the basic principle of honoring your mother and your father, is the fact that they gave you life. Well, it's not a situation theology here, but it's because of who they are and they gave you life. Shall not murder, but God bless us. Okay? This abortion is a very sticky subject. You got one side that says all abortions are wrong, and yet the other side that says no abortion is wrong. And God says you don't murder. We don't murder from hatred. We don't murder people that get in our way. We don't kill them. But in our society, there's murders every day. But God bless America. We're going to keep murdering, but God, you bless us, God. Please, we're going to keep murdering. Bless us. You shall not commit adultery. You know what adultery is? Huh? You're married, and you have made a vow before Almighty God to be with this one person for the rest of your life and forsake all others in that sexual intimacy. Huh? But God, bless us, please. We're going to continue to commit these indecent acts of morality, but holy God, you bless us and bless America, because that's what we're doing. You shall not steal. Okay? Don't take what's yours. That's not yours. You know, if it's somebody else's, then it's theirs, and you're not to take it in any fashion of even lying to get it or just taking what you want. But wait a minute. I need it. And I don't want to work to get what I got, so I'll just take it from someone. Hey, God bless America and bless you. We're going to keep on stealing because we say if we need it, we'll steal it. In California, I think you can steal up to $999 and not face persecution. These people go into the stores and they walk out and they can't persecute them. When you take something that's yours, that's stealing. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's lying. Huh? What is this election all about? Nothing but full of lies, is it not? On both sides. When he says he's going to ban books from your kids, what he's banning is those books that tell you that your little boy can be a girl and your little girl can be a boy. And if you don't like what you're born with, you can change that. That's the books that they're trying to ban. See, what we do is we make vague statements in our lies to make somebody look worse than the other person does. Both sides do it. You got to be honest. Why don't you tell the truth and let the people make up their own minds? God is telling us truth. He's going to let you make up your own mind. He's not going to force us to live by his rules and regulations, but you will suffer the consequences of not doing that. God has set these standards for us so that we would know how to live in society and to be truthful. But if you're selling something and you got to give a half-truth, did you know a half-truth is a complete lie? But we're going to keep on lying. We're going to keep bearing that false witness against our neighbor, but God bless America, and God bless you. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Coveting is meaning I want what they got. But God bless America, and God bless you. Because we're going to keep on coveting. Let's look at Leviticus 18. I'm going to go through this very quickly because there's a point that God wants us to understand this morning. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Again, you're not choosing this. I am the Lord your God. This is not something you get to choose. I am the Lord your God, whether you acknowledge it or not. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived. At one time, the United States was the pinnacle of a nation that honored and feared God at some point. And now we are becoming like the other nations. So what's written in here, we can understand, is that God gives a warning to his people, the Israelites, not to become like everybody else. Guess what? America is becoming just like everybody else. Okay, the riots that never used to happen are happening. The burning of buildings when you're just upset about something is happening here. It used to happen just in the third world countries. Okay, we're changing genders. Okay? We're aborting full-term babies. Okay? We're living in the sexual world of a sexual immorality. We are taking on, you saw what happened in France where they had the drag queens and the near naked guy up there walking around and dancing around in there. We are becoming like the other nations. And God warned in biblical principles, if I'm going to be your God and you acknowledge me as your God, then you need to not take on what these other nations and what these other people are doing. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you live, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you, and you shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and my statutes and to live in accordance with them. I am the Lord your God, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live, and if he does them, I am the Lord. We have forgotten to tell the Republican convention, we've forgotten to tell the Democratic convention that we are to walk by the judgments and the commandments of Almighty God. Not what pleases you and what you want to do. None of you shall approach any blood relative to his uncovered nakedness in the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother, and you are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. You shall not the nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or to your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. The nakedness of your father's wife, daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover the nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not cover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter. You shall take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. You shall not marry a woman in addition to her sisters as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurities. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. You shall not give any of the offspring to offer them to Moloch. You shall profane the name of your God. I am your Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female is an abomination. We're doing all of these things. The incest. We're doing all of these things. God bless America and God bless you. God bless America. And God bless you. And we do all these things with no remorse. Also, you shall not have intercourse with an animal. To be defiled with it, shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it? It's perversion. It's called bestiality. It's real. Okay? It's real. Do not defile yourselves any of these things, for by these things the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. We are a defiled nation. Let's call it what it is. America, United States of America, which is not united at all, is defiled because of the sin and because we have no remorse for that sin. We have no godly sorrow and we have no one in the power of the leadership that's leading our nation into repentance. We don't even have churches leading to repentance. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon it. Do you understand that these are the punishments of God? This is not global warming. This is not a climate change. It is the hand of God. They're never going to find a cure for cancer. You know why? Because cancer was in the Bible. They said there were tumors. They have been looking for a cure for cancer for how many years? You're not going to cure something that God doesn't allow to cure. You want to cure it? Change your ways. And guess what? You can't change your ways unless God allows you to change it by the new birth experience that he gives us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be reconciled from this and forgiven of all of this. But as for you, you're to keep my statutes. So as we go through all of this and we see the end of time and we see this great delusion so people will believe what is false, that's the time that God says that we're in right now. The church has got to continue, and we have got to continue to keep God's statutes, not attack everyone that does not. Live a quiet life, trying to get along with everyone you can. You're not going to stop what's happening, because I've read the rest of the scriptures, and it's not going to stop. But you have a responsibility to continue to live in that gentleness of Christ, so that we are here just to warn people that this is what God is saying. Now, whether they accept it or not, that's up to them, and they will bear their own burden and suffer that second death. We've got the first death. We're born in iniquity. We're born like this. This is natural to us, is what God's telling us to not do, is those natural things. But you're to keep my statutes and my judgments, and you shall not do any of these abominations. He calls them abominations. Neither the native or the alien who sojourns with you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled, so that the land will not spew you out. You should you defile it, as it is spewed out the nations which are before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge, and you are to not practice any of these abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. We are a defiled nation. Abominations are our natural way of life in our nation. And we have governors, and we have presidents, and we have people that continue to live, and we have churches that continue to live in the abominations of God. Just because Jesus came and God showed us favoritism and allowed to overlook sin, that he would send his son to do something for us that we couldn't do, the consequences of salvation is that we continue and try through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do the commandments of God. Just acknowledging him and just going to church doesn't do that for us. But God bless America, and God bless you. Deuteronomy 5. A woman shall not wear men's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. I didn't write this, folks. I'm just shining the light on the darkness that's in our world. It's an abomination. Drag queens are an abomination. And they're in our schools teaching our kids that this is a normal way of life. When God says, it's an abomination to me. It's an abomination to me. You don't get what you want. It's an abomination to live contrary to what God has written in his word. Let's look at Leviticus 19, 28 to 32. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. We are the temple of God, those that have been born again, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. And these were God's people, and all the nations were putting tattoos, and they were cutting themselves, and God said, don't put tattoos on your body. It's a simple instruction from God, don't do it. And look at our world. Everybody is a painted billboard, and that's okay if you want. I don't hate you because of that. I'm telling you that God said don't do that. That's my responsibility, is just tell you what God said don't do. You don't put tattoos on your body. I'm sorry, God said don't do it. I don't care what the world says. Don't do it. If God said don't do it, don't do it. Do not profane your daughter by making her a harlot, so that the land will not fall into harlotry, to the land become full of lewdness. People, children are sold into sexual slavery. Do you know that? That's real in our country. Oh, God bless America, and God bless you. Do not turn to mediums or spiritualists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. How popular is that today? Huh? How popular is that today? Oh, God bless America, and God bless you. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall reserve your God. I am the Lord. What do we do with our aged? We throw them aside, do we not? We throw the aged people aside. They have no use and they have no purpose, do they? When we ought to be getting our instruction from them, from the Lord, that God has taught them through their life, so they can turn around and tell us, maybe we should listen to them. Maybe we should listen to the failures of their life and the things that they've tried contrary to God, and how God had brought them to the point of, hey, look, this wasn't right. Maybe we should listen to them a little bit instead of throw them out, huh? Might learn something if we listen to what God says. Daniel 1:1-19. What we ought to be praying is the prayer that God gave Daniel to pray. Listen to this. I may go over a little bit today, but this is so important. Listen to this. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed the books, the numbers of the years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. See, Jerusalem and the Israelites didn't do any of the stuff that I just talked about. And God put them in exile and made them a desolation, made them a stink to the other nations around them. And he says, so I have given my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer. This is Daniel saying this. By prayer, not just prayer, but supplications. Not just supplications, but with fasting. Not with just fasting, but sackcloth and ashes. What this depicted is that he was at the end of himself. And he knew that he had no way to reconcile what was happening here. Only God, in his grace and his mercy, could help. And so he reached that point in his life that he was willing to forsake any natural human, like food or water or anything. And he was to dress himself down in ashes and sackcloth as a form of humility before he went to Almighty God. He goes, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandment. Who is this for? It's for those that love him and keep his commandments. The judgment for those that don't keep his commandments. I can't keep his commandments. That's how come we have all sinned, fall short of God's glory, is that we can't keep those commandments. By nature, we're children of wrath, so those things that we just talked about come to us naturally. And it's a natural way of life. And when we try to force people to go against their natural way of life, then we have created two parties that fight against each other over things that we're doing instead of who we are. See, the relationship with Jesus Christ is who we are. And he takes us by this new birth experience and brings us into a new creature that then seek the things that please God. And that's how you fix this world. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandment. We've sinned. Joe Biden ought to stand up and say, we have sinned. Kamala Harris should stand up and say, we have sinned. Donald Trump should stand up and say, we have sinned. Committed iniquity. Acted wickedly. We've rebelled and turned aside from your commandments and your ordinances. Moreover, we've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes and our fathers and all the people of the land. It's even worse for us because we've not listened to Jesus Christ, his holy son. So it's even worse than what Daniel's praying, because God sent his son that we might listen to him and be reconciled back to a holy God. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame. As is by this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, and all the countries to which you were driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. We are sinning against Almighty God, not against one another. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion, forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which we set before us through his servants, the prophets. Again, we have the teachings of Jesus Christ. See, no one talks about the consequences of salvation. See, everybody thinks the consequence of salvation is going to heaven. That's a lie. That's bearing that false witness against your neighbor. The churches are bearing false witness against their neighbors. It's to be born again and have a new nature that then allows us to carry out the commandments of God in our life and to repent. We cannot please God in the flesh. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he has set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed. All America has transgressed. All the world has transgressed. We have transgressed against Almighty God, and we don't even consider his statutes or his commandments, and we're trying to live our life the way that we want to live it. And not into the glory of the Father. And just because God had forgiven us of our sins and gave his Son doesn't mean he annihilated his commandments. Matter of fact, it makes them more prevalent in our lives. We have transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. What you're experiencing, the illnesses and all the strange diseases and all the natural disasters, are by the hand of God. Let's call it what it is. It's by the hand of God, not by some cow passing out gas. You can't destroy this world. How do I know? Because God tells me he is preserving this world to be destroyed by an intense burning heat that he's going to do. So give up on all this garbage. We're not destroying the world. God's going to do it. Then he has confirmed his word, which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven, there has not been done anything like it's done in Jerusalem. God kept warning them, and he kept warning them, and he kept warning them, and he kept warning them till the calamity came. And then when the calamity came, read the other verses, they sit there and try to go to God, and God said, I'm not going to listen. Oh, God bless you and God bless America. Therefore, the Lord has kept calamity in store and brought us, for the Lord our God is righteous and respecteth to all the deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself. It was all about him. As to this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of the sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those that are around us. So now on, our God, listen to the prayers of your servant and the supplication, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits or on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your sake, O God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. It's a great prayer, one we ought to probably listen to. But God didn't change his mind just because Daniel prayed that. They still had to go through the years of desolation. He still carried out the promises that he actually told the prophets were going to happen. God does not change his mind by what he wrote in Scripture. He is the same God today. He's the same God of yesterday, and he's the same God of the future, and his word is still true and pure. And if we as a nation and if we as a world don't stop and consider what God thinks about our actions and the laws that we're passing, then the desolation will come upon us. It's written in Scripture. It's not going to happen probably in this world. But my concern is you. My concern is you. That you don't become deceived by all of this. And listening to these television preachers and all these pastors that are not looking at the Word of God and learning from the lessons of God and just expounding on the Word of God to their people and allowing the abominations to come into a so-called church. See, there's only one church. It's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to be born into that church through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And this is what it's talking about. Look at all, read all the Scriptures. Don't read just some of them. Read them all and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you on the truths behind these. We in America had better wake up. Churches, you better wake up. People sitting here listening, you better wake up. These people are lost. They're living their life out of the natural state of who they were born. But God wrote this so that we would know what state we're in, so that we would call upon the mercy of Almighty God. If we change us, we change the world. If we all fall upon our knees and begin to follow the commandments and the things that are written by God, of course, there's a battle there. In destroying this old nature that we have, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. God bless you. I doubt God's going to bless America.